بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the fourth lesson from this treatise, Ad-Durus al-Muhimmah, the Shaykh ibn Baz rahimullah. He said, Ad-Dars al-Rabi', the fourth lesson, Aqsam al-Tawheed wa Aqsam al-Shirk, the different types and categories of Tawheed and the different types of ash-shirk. He said, Bayanu aqsam al-tawheed wa hiya thalatha, tawheed al-rububiyya wa tawheed al-uluhiyya wa tawheed al-asma wa sifat. So in this lesson we're going to study the different categories of tawheed, and there are three categories: tawheed al-rububiyya, tawheed al-uluhiyya, and tawheed al-asma wa sifat. And the word tawheed, it's an Arabic word from the verb وَحَّدَ يُوَحِّدُ تَوْحِيدًا. Linguistically, the word tawheed, it comes from the verb وَحَّدَ يُوَحِّدُ تَوْحِيدًا. And the meaning of وَحَّدَ يُوَحِّدُ تَوْحِيدًا is to make something wahid, i.e. to make something one. This is the meaning of وَحَّدَ, to make something one. We say, for example, وحد الأمة, he united the Ummah, meaning he made them one. ووحد الصف, and he made the row as one row without any gaps between them. This is the linguistic meaning of Tawheed. وحد يوحد توحيدا. As for the Islamic meaning of Tawheed, then there are different definitions and all of them mean the same thing. So either you can say the meaning of Tawheed is Ifradullahi bil-ibadah, to single out Allah in al-ibadah. Ifradullahi al-ibadah. Or you could say it is Al-i'tiqadu bi-tafarrudillahi fi rububiyyatihi wa uluhiyyatihi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. It is the belief, it is the i'tiqad, tafarrudillah, to single out Allah in His rububiyyah, uluhiyyah, and His asma wa sifat. Or a person can say that the meaning of Tawheed, and this is perhaps the most comprehensive definition, it is ifradullah bi kulli ma yakhtassu bihi min rububiyyah wal uluhiyyah wal asma wa sifat. That Tawheed is ifradullah, to single out Allah, بِكُلِّ مَا يَخْتَصُّ بِهِ, in everything which is exclusive to Him, in everything which is unique to Him, فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ, in aspects of rububiyyah, and aspects of uluhiyyah, and aspects of al-asma wa-sifat. It is إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِكُلِّ مَا يَخْتَصُّ بِهِ مِنْ رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ وَأُلُوهِيَّتِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ, to single out Allah bi kulli ma yakhtassu bihi, in everything which is exclusive and unique and specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at-tawheed, this is the first obligation of a Muslim. And this is what all of the prophets and the messengers, they call to. He said that tawheed, it is three types. The first of them, tawheed ar-rububiyyah. And Tawheed al-Rububiyyah comes from the word al-Rabb. So al-Rububiyyah is taken from al-Rabb. And who is al-Rabb? He is al-Khaliq, al-Malik, al-Mudabbir. He is the Khaliq, the creator, and the Malik, the owner, and the Raziq, the provider, the Mudabbir, and the control of everything. This is the definition of a Rabb. When we say a Rabb, even though it's translated in English as being Lord, but it means Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Raziq, Al-Mudabbir. This is the meaning of Al-Rabb. So Tawheed Al-Rububiyyah is to single out to Allah that He is your Rabb, meaning He is the only Khaliq, the only Malik, the only Raziq, and the only Mudabbir, the only creator, provider, owner, and controller of everything. And Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimullah, he said, أَمَّا تَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ أَسْوَ تَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ فَهُوَ الْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ الْخَالِقُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. It is to have belief that Allah is the creator of everything and He has no partner in it. So there are two definitions of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and both of them are correct. Either you can say the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Ifradullahi bil-Khalq at-Tam, wal-Mulk at-Tam, wal-Rizq at-Tam, wal-Tadbir at-Tam. It is Ifradullah, it is to single out Allah bil-Khalq at-Tam, in absolute creation. Meaning there is nobody who has absolute creation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-Mulk at-Tam, an absolute ownership and dominion. وَالْرِزْقْ التَّام, an absolute sustaining. And التَّدْبِير التَّام, an absolute control. This is one definition of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And why do we say Al-Khalq التَّام and Al-Rizq التَّام? Why this word absolute? Because amongst mankind there are those who create, there are those who own, there are kings, there are owners, there are leaders, there are those who provide and sustain. But as for absolute creation, Al-Khalq At-Tam, then it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And as for Mulk At-Tam, absolute kingship and dominion, then this is for Allah Jalla fil Ula alone. And Tawheed Al-Rububiyyah, this isn't the essence of Tawheed. So when we say the first obligation upon a person is Tawheed, then the essence of this Tawheed is not Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Meaning the prophets and the messengers, they didn't only come with the message that you have to believe Allah is the only creator, provider, sustainer, and so on and so forth. Why? Because this is something which is natural to a person. So much so that even the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, as we discussed previously, even they used to accept that Allah is Al-Rabb, Al-Malik, Al-Khaliq, and the other definitions of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So the first definition of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Ifradullahi bil-Khalq al-Tam, wal-Mulk al-Tam, wal-Rizq al-Tam, wal-Tadbir al-Tam. The second definition of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Ifradullahi fi af'alihi, is to single out Allah regarding His actions. I.e. those actions which are exclusive to Allah and unique to Allah, like creation, like providing, like sustenance, like giving life and giving death and bringing resurrection and so on and so forth and control, then this is for Allah alone. So either you can say Ifradullahi bil-Khalq at-Tam wa Rizq at-Tam wa Al-Mulk at-Tam, or you can say Ifradullahi fi af'alihi, single out Allah in all of His actions which are specific to Him. So if somebody now comes and believes that there is a creator besides Allah, then this is now kufr and shirk. Or there is a sustainer besides Allah who has a rizq at-tam, absolute sustenance, then this is now kufr and a shirk. Or if somebody comes along and says that there is a malik beside Allah with al-mulk at-tam, absolute dominion, then this is now kufr and a shirk. And then the second type of tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And as we mentioned, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, it has three names. Either Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed al-Ilahiyyah, or Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, and all of them mean the same thing. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah has two definitions. Both of them mean the same thing. It is either Ifradullahi bil-ibadah, to single out Allah in every act of ibadah. This is one definition of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Ifradullahi bil-ibadah. And the second definition of uluhiyya is ifradullahi bi af'alil ibad, is to single out Allah in the actions of the people. Meaning the actions which the people do as ibadah, such as mahabbah, love, and khawf, fear, and dua, supplication, and tawakkul, reliance, that this has to be for Allah Jalla fil ulan, Allah alone. And tawheed al-uluhiyya, this was and this is the essence of a tawheed. And this was the difference between the prophets and the messengers and their enemies, their opponents. And for this reason, لا إله إلا الله, it does not mean لا رب غير الله or لا خالق إلا الله or لا مالك إلا الله. It means لا معبود بحق إلا الله. It does not mean there is no creator besides Allah, there is no king besides Allah, even though all of these meanings are correct. But it means there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And this is why the Quraysh, they refused to say لا إله إلا الله. They used to accept Allah is the Khaliq and the Malik and the Raziq. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ يَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who created the heavens and the earth, they would say it is surely Allah. So the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they used to accept the Rububiyya of Allah. The difference between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quraysh was Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. That despite them accepting the attributes of Allah, of Rububiyya, they would ascribe partners to Him in worship. They would go to the idols and the righteous people. They would make dua to the prophets, stones and trees and so on and so forth. So the Quraysh, they understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They knew what La ilaha illallah means. And that's why they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. In هذا لشين عجاب. Has Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made our numerous gods and deities to be a single god and deity? So they understood La ilaha illallah means to single out Allah in every act of worship. Not merely accept and believe He is Al Khaliq, Al Malik, Al Raziq. In fact, if somebody comes and he says, I believe Allah is the Khaliq and the Malik and the Raziq, this is not sufficient for him to be a Muslim. Until he singles out Allah in every act of ibadah. And as soon as he directs any act of ibadah to other than Allah, then he has left the fold of Islam. And then the third type of tawheed is tawheed al-asma wa sifat. Is to single out Allah in all of the names which are exclusive to Him and the sifat, the attributes which are exclusive to Him. And when we say sifat, we mean sifat and af'al. Because there are sifatun dhatiyya and sifatun fi'liyya. There are attributes of Allah which describe His that, His essence. And these are called as-sifat al-dhatiyya. These describe His essence. For example, His that is described as being the most merciful. So ar-Rahman is sifa dhatiyya. And Allah in His essence, He is al-aleem. The most knowing. So this is a sifa dhatiyya. It describes to us the essence of Allah Jalla fil ula. And He is al-Ali. His essence, His that is the most high. Because He rose above the arsh. So these are called sifatun dhatiyya. Attributes which describe the essence and the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-Hayy, al-Qayyum. The one who has complete and eternal life. He is al-awwal, wal-akhir, wal-zahir, wal-batin. He is the first. Alladhi laysa qablahu shay. Before whom there was nobody else. Wa huwa al-akhir laysa ba'dahu shay. And He is the last after whom there is nobody else. Wa huwa al-zahir laysa fawqahu shay. And He is the most apparent, meaning above whom there is nobody else. Wa huwa al-batin laysa dunahu shay. And He is the nearest, near than whom there is nobody else, meaning in His knowledge. Because then Allah said, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah has complete knowledge of everything. All of these attributes are called صِفَاتٌ ذَاتِيَّةٌ. Because they describe to us the that of Allah جَلَّ فِي الْعُلَىٰ. They describe to us Allah in His essence. And then the second type of sifat is sifatun fi'liya. And these are actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So these are attributes which describe to us the actions of Allah jalla fil'ula. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yasma'u, He hears. Therefore His hearing is an action of His. And He speaks. So Him speaking is an action of His. And He bestows mercy. This is an action of His. And He rose above the throne. So that rising, al-istiwa, was an action of Allah. And He descends to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains. So an-nuzul, descending to the lowest heaven every single night, is an action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has all been affirmed by the authentic ahadith. Also from the sifatun dhatiyya, the attributes which describe to us the essence of Allah, is for example that He has two hands and He has a face. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The face of Allah was mentioned. So all of these attributes are attributes of Allah which describe to us the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he said, and as for Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat, فَهُوَ الْإِيمَانُ بِكُلِّ مَا وَرَدَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ أَوِ الْأَحَادِيثَ الصَّحِيحَةِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. He said, it is to have iman in everything which is mentioned in the Quran and the authentic ahadith with regards to the names of Allah and His attributes. So every name which Allah gave Himself in the Quran, we have to accept that this is a name of Allah. And every name which the Prophet ﷺ gave to Allah in an authentic hadith, we have to affirm that this is the name of Allah. And also every description, meaning every sifatun dhatiyya and every sifatun fi'liya, which is affirmed in the Quran or affirmed in the Sunnah, then we have to affirm it for Allah. And also the opposite. Every name which is negated from Allah in the Quran or the Hadith, we have to negate from Allah. And every attribute which is negated in the Quran or the authentic Hadith regarding Allah, we have to also negate it. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Like Allah, He negated from Himself a sinna wa nawm. A sinner, this is becoming tired. And a nawm is sleep. So these two attributes are negative attributes which Allah negated from Himself, we have to also negate from Him. Naam. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He does not give birth, nor was He given birth to. So these are negative attributes. Allah negates them from Himself, that He gives birth or He's given birth to. We have to also negate it from Him. Also, laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing equal and comparable to Allah. So, al-mithl, something being equal to Allah, is a negative attribute. Allah negated it from Himself. We also negate all of these attributes. So, there are sifatun muthbita. There are attributes of affirmation, and there are also sifatun manfiyah. There are also attributes which have to be negated. And every attribute of perfection we affirm for Allah. And every attribute of deficiency or weakness or imperfection we free from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say attributes of perfection and imperfection, then we are not allowed to measure Allah according to the people. For example, sleeping, when it comes to the human beings, then sleeping is a positive attribute. If a person does not sleep, then this is an illness. We say the person is suffering from insomnia. So human beings, sleeping is health and perfection. And not being able to sleep, then this is a weakness and imperfection. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite. Sleeping is imperfection because He is divine and He is godly. And these are humanistic attributes and not godly attributes. And not sleeping, this is perfection for Allah, jalla fil'ula. And he said, وَإِثْبَاتُهَا لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهِ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهِ. And you have to affirm these names and attributes as they came in the Quran and the Sunnah, meaning upon their literal meaning. If there's no evidence for us to metaphorically interpret the names and the attributes of Allah, then we are not allowed to do so. We have to accept them as they came in the Quran and the Sunnah. But عَلَى وَجْهٍ اللَّائِقْ بِهِ, according to a way which befits His Majesty. So Allah Jalla fil Ula, He mentioned in the Quran, He mentioned in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. He said, our Lord, He descends to the lowest heaven, He comes down to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains, and the hadith is authentic and it is mutawatir. Now this nuzul, we have to affirm for Allah, that Allah Jalla fil Ula, He descends. We are not allowed to say that the meaning of nuzul is that His mercy descends, or His pleasure descends, or His forgiveness descends, like the people of innovation do, like the Asha'ira and the other groups like that. They have said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in His dhat. Because this is the literal meaning which is understood. But is His descending like the descending of human beings? No, it is not. So we do not liken the descending of Allah to the descending of human beings. How human beings go down, we do not accept this. Also, the opposite, al-istiwa, going above the arsh. Allah Jalla fil Ula in the Quran, in seven different ayat, He affirmed that He rose above the throne. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. That the Most Merciful, He made istawa upon the throne. The meaning of istawa is to rise above the throne. We are not allowed to now metaphorically interpret this and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not rise above the throne. Rather, this means that He gained authority. Or it means He gained the kingdom, or He gained control. Rather, if Allah says He rose above the throne, then we say Allah rose above the throne in reality, in the literal meaning, but we do not liken the ascension of Allah to the ascension of people, to how people go up and they rise. And then there are four mistakes which He mentions, and we mentioned them last week. مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ وَلَا تَكِيِّفٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. So what is the meaning of tahrif? If you remember from last week's lesson, the meaning of tahrif, to change the meaning. The meaning of tahrif is to change the lettering, either wording or the meaning of the ayah. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Allah said regarding al-Yahud that they make tahrif, يُحَرِّفُون. They change the wording or the meaning of the ayah. This is at-tahrif. And can anybody remember an example of tahrif I gave last week? An example of tahrif when it came to the speech of Allah speaking to Musa alayhi salam? We said وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. And here lafzul jala Allah is fa'il because there is a dhamma on it, meaning Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Some they change and they say it is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى. And when you say اللَّهَ, then Allah lafzul jalal, this becomes maf'ulun bihi. This is now, Musa spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by changing this haraka, they are changing who is the one who speaks. So they can negate Allah speaks and they affirm Musa alayhi salam speaks. This is an example of at-tahrif fil laf, at-tahrif al-lafzi. And as for at-tahrif al-ma'nawi, then like the brother mentioned, for example, istawa. They say the meaning of istawa is not to go above the arsh, it is istawla. And istawla means to conquer something or to gain authority. So this is at-tahrif. And at-ta'atil, who can remember the meaning of ta'atil? To negate the meaning, or the attribute. So for example, some of them they will say, like the Mu'tazila, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بِلَا سَمْعٌ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِلَا بَصَرٍ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِلَا عِلْمٍ. Allah is, His name is the most hearing, but without the attribute of hearing. We negate that Allah hears. And Allah is the all-seeing, meaning this is His name, al-Basir, but we do not
accept the attribute of al-basar, that Allah sees, and so on and so forth. And then at-takif, what is the meaning of takif? هذا التمثيل. To either ask regarding the attributes of Allah, like that man who came to Al-Imam Malik rahimullah, he said, Ar-Rahman al-Arash istawa, كيف استوى? Allah rose above the throne. How did he rise above the throne? And Al-Imam Malik, he gave us a principle. He said, Al-Istawa ma'lum, or غيرو majhul. He said, the meaning of istawa, it is known. The Arabs, this word Al-Istiwa, we know the meaning of istawa. Because in the Arabic language, the meaning of istawa is to rise above something. And then he said, وَالْمَعْنَى وَالْكَيْفْ مَجْهُولُ وَغَيْرْ مَعْقُولُ. And as for how Allah rose above the throne, then this is not known or it cannot be understood. Because these attributes of Allah, they are divine. And anything which is divine, we can only affirm and understand if divine revelation has come to us. So, did Allah give us a divine revelation that He rose above the throne? He gave us the revelation. Did revelation come how He rose above the throne? This revelation did not come. Did divine revelation come in the form of a hadith that Allah descends to the lowest heaven? Yes, it came. Did divine revelation tell us how it happens? No, it does not. So we affirm that which Allah has affirmed. And as for that which Allah did not affirm, then we are not allowed to question or give it a reality. So the descension of Allah, it has a kayfiyyah. And the hands of Allah have a kayfiyyah. There is a reality behind them, but we do not know of the reality behind these attributes because Allah did not reveal them to us. And then Al-Imam Malik, he said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ wajib. Having iman in these attributes, it is an obligation. وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهَا بِدْعَةً. And asking about them, questioning them is an innovation. And then he said to the man, and the narrator mentions that he was angry and his face was red. He said, أُخْرُجْ فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَاكَ إِلَّا مُبْتَدِعْ. He said, leave my gathering, get out of the masjid, because I only consider you to be an innovator. How was he an innovator? Because he was asking questions regarding something which the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah did not ask questions about. The Sahaba, they used to accept the sifat without asking questions or without metaphorically interpreting one way or another way. And then finally, wala tamthil. And also, we don't compare the attributes of Allah to the attributes of creation. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And there is nothing which is comparable to Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing كَمِثْلِهِ, equal to Allah, comparable to Allah, and He is As-Sami' Al-Basir. And then the author said, Rahimullah, وَقَدْ جَعَلَهَا بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ نَوْعَيْن. That some of the ulama, instead of classifying Tawheed into three categories, they classified it into two categories. And we mentioned last week the two categories, can you remember? The two categories of Tawheed. Tawheed Al-Ma'rifah Wal-Ithbat, the Tawheed of us knowing Allah, and Tawheed Al-Talab Wal-Qasd, and the Tawheed of us seeking Allah and our intention. So Tawheed Al-Ma'rifah Wal-Ithbat, the Tawheed of knowing regarding Allah, this is Tawheed Rububiyyah Wal-Asma Wal-Sifat. So you have to know and accept and affirm Allah is Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Razik. All of this goes back to your iman and your knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I not your actions. So Tawheed Rububiyyah, Tawheed Al-Asma wa Sifat, it isn't regarding your actions, it is regarding your knowledge. Do you know and affirm Allah is As-Sami' Al-Basir? Do you know and do you affirm that Allah is above the heavens and Allah descends to the lowest heaven? Do you know and believe that Allah speaks and so on and so forth? And as for Tawheed Al-Talabi Wal-Qasd, Tawheed Al-Qasd Wal-Talab, then this is the Tawheed of your actions, of your seeking Allah and your intention. Meaning Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah. That when you perform Salah, do you make it your qasd? Is it for Allah alone? Your talab, your seeking, is it seeking Allah alone? Your dua and all of your other actions. So Tawheed these two types of Tawheed, it is as the same as those three types of tawheed. And that's why Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he said, وَلَا مُشَاحَةَ فِي ذَلِكَ, that there is no dispute regarding this. If a person says tawheed is two types, or a person says tawheed is three types, there is no dispute in this, because it means the same thing. And amongst the ulama who classified tawheed into two types was Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah and his student Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimullah. And as I mentioned before, when we say tawheed is two types and three types, and this is the definition of tawheed, this doesn't mean that a person cannot be a muwahid until he knows and he has memorized tawheed ar-rububiyyah, uluhiyyah, asma wa sifat. This isn't the intent here. As long as a mu'min, he singles out Allah, that he is the Khaliq and the Malik, and he makes his attribute and he makes his ibadah for Allah alone, and he accepts the names and the attributes of Allah, then he is a muwahid. Even if he never heard of the name tawheed ar-rububiyyah, uluhiyyah, asma wa sifat, it does not matter. But we study this as students of knowledge, as a mode of education. Then he said, وَأَقْسَامُ الشِّرْك ثَلَاثَةً, and also the types of shirk, they are three. And what is a shirk? A shirk, the easiest definition of shirk is ضِدُّ التَّوْحِيد, that shirk is the opposite of التَّوْحِيد. So if a person knows and understands tawheed, then he will understand الشرك. And just as we learn about tawheed, we have to also learn about الشرك. It isn't sufficient for a person to say, we're only going to talk about tawheed, but we're not going to talk about الشرك. We're going to praise the people of tawheed, but we're not going to refute the people of shirk. Why? Because this divides the ummah. This isn't enough. Why? Because la ilaha illallah, it has a nafi wal ithbat. You have to negate something, you have to affirm something. So you have to negate ash-shirk and the people of ash-shirk. Just as you have to affirm tawheed and also respecting and loving the people of at-tawheed. And the poet, he said, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوْقِهِ. He said, I learnt about the evil, not because I want the evil, but in order to stay away from the evil. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفَ الشَّرَّ وَقَعَ فِيهِ, because the one who does not know the evil will fall into it. And also حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنهما, he said, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةً يُدْرِكُنِي. He said, the people, they used to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the good things. I used to ask him about the evil things, the bad things. So, because I feared I will fall into it. So a person who doesn't know shirk, maybe he will fall into shirk and he does not know. And just also in fiqh, for example, in fiqh, do we not learn about furud al-wudu and sunan al-wudu and mubtilat al-wudu? We learn about those obligations of wudu and the sunan of wudu. And we also learn about mubtilat al-wudu, those things which invalidate a person's wudu. And mufsidat al-sawm, and those things which break a person's fast. And mubtilat as-salah, and those things which invalidate a person's salah. So we have to also learn about those things which invalidate a person's tawheed. And just like if a person memorizes a hadith, if he doesn't revise this hadith, the hadith will be forgotten. And also masail al-fiqh, issues of fiqh. If you don't revise and study fiqh all the time and keep revising the things which you have memorized, then fiqh will be forgotten. Then the ulama say, also tawheed. Also tawheed, it can be forgotten. In fact, it is the first thing which is forgotten. Why? Because shaitan is more diligent about misguiding the people when it comes to tawheed than he is about al-fiqh and the other aspects of knowledge. So tawheed can also be forgotten. And therefore, we have to always talk about tawheed and teach at-tawheed and revise at-tawheed. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made the dua. He said, "Wajnubni wa baniya an na'bud al-asnam." He said, "Oh Allah, save me and my offspring from worshipping the idols." Why? "Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran min an-nas." Oh my Lord, because they have misguided many, many people. And the Salaf, when they will read this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, wajnubni wa baniya na'bud al-asnam, Allah save me and my offspring from worshipping the idols, and he is Khalilur Rahman, he is the most beloved of Allah, and he is min a'immat tawheed, and he is from the great imams of tawheed, and he is from ulul azam, the five great mighty messengers, and yet he used to make this dua, rabbi wajnubni wa baniya na'bud al-asnam. The Salaf would say, وَمَنْ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ يَأْمَنْ الْفِتْنَةِ, that who after Ibrahim alayhi salam will ever feel safe from a tawheed. So nobody should think that khalas, I'm a Muslim, I'm a muwahid, I know tawheed, I'm never going to worship idols. If Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he is Khalilur Rahman, and he is Imamul Muwahideen, and he is min ulul azam, if he was scared and he was fearful and he used to make dua, فَمَنْ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ يَأْمَنَ الْفِتْنَةِ, who after Ibrahim alayhi salam can ever feel safe from the fitna of ash-shirk? So ash-shirk, he said, it is three types: ash-shirk al-akbar, and ash-shirk al-asghar, and ash-shirk al-khafi, major shirk and minor shirk, and ash-shirk al-khafi, hidden shirk. Ash-shirk al-akbar, he said, يُجِبْ حُبُوطَ الْعَمَلْ وَالْخُلُودُ فِي النَّارِ لِمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, الشِّرْكُ الْأَكْبَرُ, major shirk, this necessitates the annulment of all of a person's actions. Meaning, if a person spends his life giving sadaqah and fasting and praying salah, and then he does an act of shirkun akbar, then every single action which he has done previously in his life, all of it becomes invalid. And all of it becomes against him. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also al-khulud fi nar. That person doesn't just enter the fire, rather he remains for eternity in the fire. If he dies upon it and he does not make tawbah. But if a person makes tawbah after shirk, then the tawbah wipes it away. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that if they commit acts of shirk, لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, everything which they used to do, either good righteous action which they used to do, they'll be dropped. And Allah said in the Quran, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ, it isn't correct for the people of shirk to build the masajid of Allah, شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفَرِ, bearing witness upon themselves that they have disbelief amongst them. So ash-shirk al-akbar, it is, Sheikh Abdurrahman Nasir Sa'idi, he said, haddu ash-shirk al-akbar wa tafsiruhu, the definition of shirk al-akbar and the explanation of shirk al-akbar is, an yasrif al-abd naw'an aw fardan min afrad al-ibada li ghayrillah, is for a person to direct a single act of worship to other than Allah. This is shirkun akbar. Or, so this is one definition of a shirk al-akbar. And yasrif al-abd naw'an aw fardan min afrad al-ibada li ghayrillah. For a person to direct a single act of worship to other than Allah, this is now shirkun akbar. Or the meaning of shirkun akbar is, مَا أَطْلَقَ عَلَيْهُ الشَّارِعُ لَفْظَ الشِّرْكِ وَيُخْرِجْ مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ, it is what has been called shirk in the sharia, and it takes a person out of the fold of al-Islam. And as for ash-shirkul asghar, then is مَا أُطْلِقَ عَلَيْهِ لَفْظُ الشِّرْكِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجْ مِنَ الْمِلَّةِ, it is that action which has been called shirk, but it doesn't take a person out of the fold of Islam. So the difference between shirkun akbar and shirkun asghar is, shirkun akbar takes a person out of Islam. He is now a kafir, mushrik, and all of his actions are invalid, and he remains in the fire for eternity. And as for shirkun asghar, it is called shirk, but it does not take a person out of the fold of Islam. And also some of the ulama mention that a shirkun asghar, it is kullu wasilatin wa dhari'atin ila shirk al-akbar. Every avenue to shirkun akbar, it is called shirkun asghar. So as if shirkun akbar, this is the action, and then any avenue it now becomes shirkun asghar, because it is an avenue towards shirkun akbar. So for example, the building, the raising of graves. The raising of the grave in of itself, it is not shirkun akbar. Why? Because you're not supplicating to other than Allah. You're not praying to other than Allah. You're only raising a grave. So the raising of the grave in of itself is not shirkun akbar, because you haven't dedicated, directed an act of worship to other than Allah. But because it is an avenue towards shirkun akbar, then it becomes shirkun asghar. And whoever dies upon shirkun akbar does not enter into Jannah, like Allah said, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih." Allah does not forgive when a person ascribes partners to him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. However, he forgives anything which is less than that. وَأَمَّا أَنْوَاعُهُ. And as for the types of shirkun akbar, then there are many. Du'a'ul amwat, supplicating to the dead. Wal asnam, and to the idols. And al-istighatha, seeking help and rescue from them. وَالنَّذَر, and taking a vow upon them. وَالذَّبْح, and slaughtering an animal for them. We can summarize the types of shirkun akbar into four types. So all of the various acts of shirk, they enter into four main types of shirkun akbar. The first, shirk al-da'wah, meaning a shirk fi du'a. When a person supplicates to other than Allah, this is shirk al-da'wah, a shirk fi du'a. And this includes al-isti'ana, al-istighatha, al-isti'adha, so on and so forth. Like Allah said in the Quran, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. That when they embark upon the ship, then they supplicate to Allah, making their dua sincere for Him. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبِرِّ. And when, إِلَى الْبَرِّ. And when Allah saves them to the land, إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Then they commit a shirk. So what is this shirk in a dua? Because at the beginning Allah said, دَعَوُ اللَّهِ. They make dua to Allah alone. This is the first time. Second type of shirkun akbar is a shirk fi niyyah wal irada wal qasd. It is the shirk in a person's intention. So a person, for example, does an act of ibadah, not for the sake of Allah, but for the sake of the dunya. So his intention, it is where the shirk has occurred. And then the third type of shirk is a shirk fi ta'a, is shirk in obedience. And this is when a person obeys another person when he makes haram something which is halal, or he makes halal that which is haram and he obeys him. This is also shirkun akbar, and it is a shirk fi ta'a. Allah said in the Quran, ittakhadhu ahbarahum wa ruhbanahum arbaban min dunillah. They took their rabbis and their priests to be arbab, to be lords besides Allah. The companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "O Messenger of Allah," and he used to be a Yahudi. He said, "How did we take them arbab? How did we take them as lords? Ma kunna na'buduhum. We never worshipped them. We never used to prostrate in front of them." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alam yakunu yuhalliluna haraman wa yuhirrimuna halalan?" Did they not used to make halal haram and haram halal, and then you used to obey them? And he said yes. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ. This is worshipping them. So this is a shirk fi ta'a. And then finally, the fourth type of shirk is a shirk fi al-mahabba, shirk in a person's love. Loving a person, another person, equal to the love of Allah, or more than the love of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Amongst the people are those who take andad, equals, deities besides Allah, how they love them like they love Allah. So loving other than Allah like you love of Allah, then this is also shirkun akbar. And then he mentions various types of shirk. Amma shirkul asghar, as for shirkul asghar, fahuwa ma thabata min an-nususi min al-kitabi was-sunnah tasmiyatuhu shirkan walakinahu laysa min jins ash-shirk al-akbar. He said, as for a shirk al-asghar, then it is what has been called shirk in the Quran and the Sunnah, but it isn't to the level of a shirkun akbar. Like, for example, yasiru riya, a little amount of showing off. Like, for example, al-halaf bi ghayri Allah, taking an oath by other than Allah, or swearing by other than Allah. I swear upon my mother, I swear by my father, I swear by my mother's grave. All of this is a shirk. Like, for example, saying, ma sha Allah wa shi'ta, whatever Allah willed and what you will, as Allah wills and you will. When the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, ma sha Allah wa shi'ta, Allah willed it and you willed it. He said, aja'altani lillahi niddan, have you made me a partner to Allah? But this person, he wasn't believing it in his heart. He didn't mean that Allah and the Prophet are equal in terms of their will. Just it was a shirk in the wording. And therefore it is shirkun asghar. And like this. And as for a shirkul khafi, hidden shirk, then it is a riya, a showing off. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ shirkul asghar. The most thing which I fear upon you, it is shirkun asghar, and it is riya. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا هُوَ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْكُمْ عِنْدِي مِنْ مَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. He said, should I not inform you of that which I'm more scared regarding you than a Masih al-Dajjal? They said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He then said, الشرك الخفي, hidden الشرك. Then he said, يقوم الرجل, a man stands up, فيصلي, he begins to pray, فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر الرجل إليه. So then he begins to beautify his prayer because somebody is looking at him. So therefore, الشرك الخفي, it is showing off الرياء. And some of the ulama, they said, shirk is two types, shirkun akbar and shirkun asghar. And as for showing off shirkun khafi, this enters into shirkun asghar. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.